We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I feel like I haven't seen you in so long. I don't know.
When was
last week when we recorded.
That does feel like a while ago. Why does that feel so long ago?
I don't know. I just feel like so much has happened, right?
A lot has happened.
A lot has happened with you. And that's how I measure time. Welcome to the Holy Hour.
I'm Amelia Sampson.
And I'm Liz Ball.
Nice. We're back to not fucking up.
Yeah. I was just thinking that too.
Last week was a struggle. Mm-hmm. I said my name is Amelia Sampson instead of I'm Amelia Sampson.
Who the fuck
is she? I almost just
said
it again. Don't know what's going on with me. Back with the housekeeping. Follow us on Instagram, TikTok, Twitter at the Holy Hour. Email us at holyhourpodcast@gmail.com. Send us your spicy stories there. Subscribe on Patreon for early access and ad-free episodes, and join our Discord. Cute as fuck. You're gonna be sick of me saying that, but it's true. Follow me on all social media platforms at Amelia Sampson,
and I am Liz Ball So Hard on Instagram and TikTok, and Liz T Ball on Twitter.
Woo! And then
We are still doing. We're selling "Consent Is My Kink" merch and donating 100% of the profits to RAIN. That's the whole month of April, so go check it out. And then to kick off May, we'll be launching even more brand new merch.
I'm so fucking excited.
Me too.
Liz threw the designs on some stuff last night and sent me pictures, and I was like geeking the fuck out.
I'm losing my mind. I'm just designing shit that I want to wear to have a hot girl summer.
I'm exclusively going to be wearing our merch all summer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Y'all. I got verified over the weekend on TikTok.
Woo! That's so gonna be real loud.
Yeah, I felt you pull back on that one.
Yeah, I was like, oh, I hit the microphone and I'm screaming. Those are two bad things for recording. I don't know if you guys know this, but we have a podcast and it's not good if you hit the microphone with your hands.
We did not know that episode one. Go back and listen.
No, don't. Because I don't want people to listen and think of that because I'm thinking of that.
I think it's pretty obvious. People that listen and then listen, they like listen to the first episode and then skip forward. They're like, your quality got so much better. It's like,
yeah,
thank God.
We stopped using one mic and stopped hitting the table that the microphone was on.
We stopped recording in an echoey room and we learned what gain really does. Yeah. And you've always known because you studied this in school.
We also stopped blacking out. So that did a lot for our quality too, I think.
That definitely helped, not blacking out every episode. Yeah, I think about episode 3 a lot. We were like sprawled out on your couch. I don't remember a fucking thing we talked about.
That was like peak summer 2020, where just like we were so chronically indoors. But how we both were dealing with being chronically indoors was so different. Like,
yeah.
You were really going through it. Uh-huh. You were having a hard time. And I was just doing so many drugs.
Yeah, I was drunk like 100% of the time.
I was high on either mushrooms or weed. So this episode, beyond us just fucking around, I keep grabbing Amelia.
No, I love it. Keep grabbing me.
We have a ton of Amelia updates. They keep ending, and like they've taken like a backseat to like obviously our Consent is My Kink stuff. And then the week before that, I think we already had like planned.
Yeah.
So Amelia has a shit ton of updates. I remember she was telling me them when we weren't recording and I was shooketh.
There's a lot that's happened.
I know.
It's really just
your dating life is just popping off.
It's really just been in the past 2 weeks.
A lot of activity.
A lot of.
Some would say paranormal activity.
Some may say.
It's the Amelia's ghost fucking a ghost.
Of no, Matthew McConaughey. Jesus. Amelia, how many times can you hit a microphone in 30 second span? Okay, we're back. So me and Squints are no more.
Sad. But also.
Necessary.
You also had always anticipated that.
Yeah. It was the necessary. Nothing but respect for that man. It was like a very like amicable, mutual conversation of just like, this got a little bit more serious than either of us wanted it to. You are bad with time management. Him, not me. I'm great with time management, if I do say so myself. Except I'm late to everything. But that's just because I get cocky about being on time. I'm like, I have so much time. He gets busy with something and then hyper-focuses on that, which is not conducive to a relationship. And he recognized that and we called it quits. I would like to stay his friend. Not sure if that's possible. We'll see. Good dude, but that's over. And so there's a new cast of characters to introduce to the podcast.
A new cast. I like that.
New cast members. What was the name that we decided for this guy?
The Poet.
The Poet.
And that's for us to know why.
The Poet. He's a good one. He's really afraid about me talking about him on the podcast. He didn't say not to, but he's always like,
I mean, that's understandable. But also, as a reminder, like in our earlier episodes, we were very explicit, but also we were trying to find our stride. So we're just figuring it out.
Yeah, right.
And we've also learned a lot, I think, and grown as like not really journalists because we're not doing any hardcore journalism over here. But we are providing a level of like curiosity and questioning and research and also joking around about sex. So
yeah, we're not talking so much shit anymore. But yeah, so the Poet, I would like to throw in a disclaimer. If you're like new to this, it sounds like I'm homie hopping. I'm like just jumping from dude to dude. I'm just dating a bunch of people now. It was just me and Squints before. Like I was just dating Squints exclusively. So now I'm not, and I'm going back to my hoe phase. Is that the right? I'm getting my wiggles out.
I'm getting your wiggles out. Yeah. I like that. I don't feel like this is a hoe phase. I feel like you already had your hoe phase.
I think so too.
I feel like now is just a normal dating phase.
It's I'm dating my best friend Katie that I've talked about on here asked me what I am taking away from that relationship with Squints.
That's a good question.
Yeah. She's like, what did you learn? And I was like, I'm realizing that I am ready to start dating more intentionally. Like,
oh.
Things that I don't, because when I started dating Squints, I was dating intentionally because like he's a good dude. And I was like, this is somebody I could like spend a lot of time with. But there were things that were like very obviously not going to be long term. Both of us knew that, but we still dated for like a year. I don't want to do that anymore. Like I really want to date people that I enjoy being around.
Well, and you two never really had like an exclusivity conversation.
No, it was just kind of assumed. Yeah. Which is like kind of messy.
You kind of got there too, like in your own time.
Yeah.
And then it also, like you met him, or I know you knew him previously a little bit, but your paths didn't cross until you were dating a bunch of people.
Right. Right.
So it became intentional as you were moving along.
Yeah, it was fun to have just like one person. And that was something that I learned. I didn't think that I was going to be like a one person gal until Squints, because it was like, oh, it's just nice to have like a companion. You know, that's something that I've always wanted. And I think that I had to like be reminded of that. And so now I'm like trying to date people that I can see a future with. Not like maybe not marriage. I won't know that. But like somebody that I can see myself spending time, like a lot of time with, and not getting like bored of or like annoyed with, or like seeing past things that like are like red flags to me just because like I want somebody, you know. I'm like done with that. So me and the Poet actually met on TikTok. He followed me.
That's your new personal dating app.
It's a good way. There's been like 5 or 6 now from TikTok. Like, not people that I've like had sex with. It's been a fruitful experience for me. TikTok dating on TikTok has been but so the poet lived in LA and now he lives in Seattle, so we finally hung out and our first date was so much fucking fun. It was just like so comfortable and easy, and like he's just like, he's so funny, and he kept saying like, I know you're not supposed to say this on a date, but like, I'm having a lot of fun. Or like, I really like you. And I feel like that's not a cool thing to say on a date, but like, I really like you. Like, he was just giving me a lot of affirmations that like, Squints knows this. Like, a big pain point with Squints was that he never said, like, he never complimented me on anything. Like, he never told me that he liked me. Like, if he complimented me on anything, it was like in like a jokey tone. So that's another thing that I'm taking away from that relationship is like, I'm realizing what I didn't realize was important to me until like this point in my life. So it's been fun, like dating the poet and it being so like kind of like carefree and easy. And like, I don't know. It's just, it feels very like effortless, which is really fun. I'm having a lot of fun with him. The sex is good. We had sex.
Nice.
Did I tell you that?
You started to.
We.
And then I think you started to save it.
Oh,
for this?
We, the first time we tried, it was unsuccessful. I think there was too much alcohol involved. The second time.
Wait, you did tell me that first time. You didn't tell me about the second time.
Yeah, we had sex on Sunday.
Nice.
Was he over on Sunday?
That was yesterday.
Saturday.
I haven't heard about this yet.
Yeah. It was really good. It was like, he's just very, we just communicate really well.
You know? Well, I was going to say, like, something that comes naturally to him was a pain point for someone else that you were dating.
Yeah.
So I think that also just, like, that reflects something I've always believed, which is just that everyone has different needs. Mm-hmm. And your needs are going to be different than the person that Squints ends up with.
Exactly. That's the thing. Is like,
you'll end up with someone who can meet your needs because we all have different needs and we all have different strengths.
I think that's something that's... And the comedian was the same way. Like, I would write letters of recommendation for, like, whoever they date in the future. You know what I mean? Like, I have nothing bad to say about Squints at all. Like, he just wasn't a good match for me.
What if we did give letters of recommendation to men? Like, I'm sorry, I'm not dating you unless you have a letter of recommendation from a previous ex.
Three referrals.
You need to ask the people you're dating for a letter of recommendation. And you need to ask future landlords for a letter of recommendation for why you should be their tenant, because you're the one giving them money.
Damn,
they should give you a,
this is a good idea,
letter of recommendation.
This feels like a better, there's a new app coming out. Do you remember Lulu?
Mm-hmm.
There's a new app coming out that's like rate your ex, and it's, that's like,
that's basically what Lulu was. So Lulu, from what I remember, came out when we were in college. I think it was my senior year, so you were probably sophomore or junior. And you could like rate, I think they had, the guys had to have a Facebook account or something, because the app would like find them on Facebook, and you would rate the guys on like their, I think their looks and like their dick, which is, all of this is fucked up.
Yeah.
Like if the sex was good and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then you could leave comments. So you could write about whatever. And then they took that part out. They're like, this is problematic. So they took that part out. And then you were like, you could only use like certain keywords.
Yes.
Remember? Like pros and cons.
Like tag them.
Yeah. And overall, the concept is fucked up.
Super fucked.
You shouldn't be rating any person.
No. And it's like, that leaves so much room for like people that are like, you know, upset that you broke up with them, but like that's it, to just like completely fuck over your chances for dating in the future.
And like,
that blows.
What about stalkers? Like,
yeah,
making fake profiles and things like that. And that, I don't know,
I used to look my ex up on that all the time when we were dating, because I knew he was cheating on me. He was. And so I was always like looking his name up on Lulu. Never found anything.
You should have left a review.
I should have,
as another girl.
I should have.
He cheated on his girlfriend with me and his dick wasn't even nice.
And then show it to him. Gotcha, bitch.
This says your pee-pee's bad. So
But yeah, now this rate your ex thing is coming out. I know nothing about it. It's like in beta right now, but
that's not a good idea.
It sounds
idea.
Like a really bad idea.
Yeah. I feel like we're going back in time.
I know.
Half the time.
Totally.
I'm just like, there's too many people with too many bad ideas and access to the internet.
We are living in an alternate reality now as of 2020. So that,
it's like Community, this is just the worst timeline in some ways.
Yeah.
Personally, damn. Great timeline.
Yeah.
Terms of societally.
Awful.
Politically.
Awful.
It's just terrible.
We did start the podcast during this new timeline, though. That's pretty dope.
That's fair.
Mm-hmm.
We did do that.
We did. So yeah, The Poet's a new name you're going to be hearing.
I love this for us. I'm really excited.
Unless
I'm a big fan.
The good thing about us talking about this now is I have a new rule, y'all, and I should probably fucking tell you that I have a new rule for myself where I will not bring up a guy until I go on 3 dates with him.
So does this mark you've been on 3 dates?
We've been on 4 now.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Saturday was our 4th.
You're going on a date tomorrow.
I am.
With who?
I'm breaking my rule now.
Oh, sorry.
No, well, it's okay. No, we can. Yeah, but that's okay. This is, you never know. This is somebody that's probably going to be in my life.
He doesn't get a nickname.
No, he's
just
roommates. He's roommates with two of my best friends from growing up, and okay. I happen to match with him on Hinge. I'm sure I'll have a lot of really fun nicknames for him because if he sticks around, if we go on 3 dates, he'll have a cool nickname because he does a lot of really cool shit.
Okay. Let's hope he makes it.
Oh, he's a beautiful
I like
man.
That. I like that there's a 3-date threat.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Threshold.
Okay, so you want to give an update about Mr. Liz?
Oh, yeah. Well, because there's not a lot to talk about. And certain things I like to keep just between us. Because it's totally. Not just my relationship. It's our relationship. And, like, he doesn't listen to the podcast anymore. So I don't think he would necessarily care what we're talking about. But I had texted him. So I haven't been able to have sex, obviously, because of the surgery I had, and I see my doctor tomorrow morning to get that all clear to use like tampons and stuff and have sex. So
hell yeah,
stoked for that. Finally stopped bleeding today.
Thank God for that. Good mazel.
Anyways, as you could imagine, not being able to have sex has made me very horny.
Yeah, I believe it.
But I keep having sex dreams about Mr. Liz, but they're more about like pleasing him. So I told him that, and then I was like, I would like to be able to like make a move, but because I had mentioned this to you too, but like we plan when we have sex, and that works for both of us. It just is, it's easier for both of us to do it like that, rather than like not have this kind of like clear communication or idea of when we're gonna have sex, or if, because no one wants to get turned down, especially me. I'm sensitive and delicate.
This is always uncomfy.
Yeah, and just in my experience, I am not used to being the person who's not in control mm-hmm. of like a sexual dynamic. I wouldn't say he is either. I've just never been in a situation like this where, like, you know, I'm on SSRIs, just kind of having to mitigate when we don't want to.
Yeah.
It's easier to just plan it because then you're in that headspace.
Right. To work around.
Yeah. Maybe it's a little less exciting than the spontaneity of like, oh, we were just in the mood and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
I
think it's inevitable, though. I mean, like, for relationships to like take on a different, like the sex lives of, in relationships to take on a new life, a new lease on life.
Yeah. And honestly, I think in any relationship, the biggest thing that you're going to have to come to terms with is like, you're going to change. You're going to change as people and you're going to change as a couple. Mm-hmm. So. Mm-hmm. Anyways.
So true. Grow together.
While I was texting him, I was like, I just kind of feel like I want to be able to make a move, but I don't know if you'd even want me to. And like, I just don't feel confident doing that. And I don't know. I just wanted to share that thought with him. And then he was like, I thought he was going to be like, I'm sorry, or just tell me some excuse or whatever. Because that's the kind of thing I'm used to hearing from men, and never from him.
Yeah.
So it's surprising every time. Every time he is amazing, I'm like, holy shit.
What?
This is wild. He'll always respond with like an unexpected answer. And he's like, well, I was thinking it'd be really fun if we had like a sexy weekend away and you could just initiate whatever you want, whenever you want. And I was like, it was like a cartoon, like, like,
oh my like, God.
My eyes fell out of my head. My tongue rolled across the floor. But I just was like, that's so innovative and like also like that. Thoughtful.
Yeah.
It's just fun. It's like, I love that we were able to talk about this and he like came back with just like a really great solution.
Hell yeah.
Because it's a way to feel empowered but not have to, because I'm a bottom. I don't want this responsibility all of the time. So
I was just about to say, it's very switchy.
It is.
I like that.
Which is not very common for us. No. For our dynamic.
But like, I'm interested to hear how it goes though. Like, if you like being a little top a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of love that.
Or like a power bottom.
Power bottom. That's a better way to put it. That
I'd
is
rather
what it
be
is.
A power bottom than like a switch, I think.
Heard.
I don't know. Just the more bottomy I get to be, the more I just would rather be there.
Yeah, I feel that. I feel that.
It's nice.
I love the idea of a power bottom. It's like it's a happy medium.
Mm-hmm. 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 Maybe that's kind of what a switch is. I don't know.
Maybe.
Tune in.
Yeah, tune in to find out. Do you know when you're doing that yet?
Oh, no. I'm hoping it'll probably be somewhat soon. I thought that would just be a fun little like update about my actual relationship because I don't talk about it as much.
I really love that you and Mr. Liz, like how you guys talk and communicate with each other is like undoing or working at undoing like all of these years of people making you afraid to bring things to them.
Mm-hmm.
Because like every time you bring anything to him, every single time, at least that I've heard of, you've been like, I feel so much better.
It's literally been every time, every single time. So that actually reminds me, I either read or heard something recently that was like, the perfect relationship isn't being with someone who doesn't trigger you at all. It's being with someone who you can be triggered by or around and it's safe. So
yes,
I think this is a perfect example is like a lot of things trigger me. And it's not things that are specific to him or what he's doing or how he treats me. It's just like an experience reminds me of a past experience.
Mm-hmm.
Like a lot of situations will trigger me, especially at the beginning of our relationship. And just talking to him about it is so easy. And then, I mean, I still get nervous, but
of course,
it's
not going to be like an overnight thing.
He literally surprises me every time with how he responds.
Mm-hmm. You are chipping away at like all of the years of like dating like shitty dudes. Mm-hmm. Really, because like I don't know, there's nobody is just like, I mean, maybe some people are, but like more often than not, people are afraid of confrontation because somebody made them that way.
Yeah.
So like I don't know, practice. It's a practice thing. Like practice makes perfect on communication, and like every time you guys work through something difficult, it just makes it easier to bring something up the next time, you know? Yeah, that's dope. It's been cool to watch you like not have to like get pepped up to like, or like hyped up to have a conversation. You'll just be like, this is bugging me, and then you're like, oh, we talked, I'm good now. I'm like, that was like 10 seconds between texts. You don't need me at all anymore.
I just told him.
Yep.
I've been watching the show Dollface.
I haven't seen it.
It's on Hulu. I highly recommend it, but I like that they're women who have great friendships with each other, and they also like represent just kind of this anxiety spirals that we put ourselves in, and they temper each other with logic and patience, and like, and then they're like, I'm sorry that I made you feel like this, it's because of XYZ, and let's just like talk about it and be friends.
I love that.
Yeah, I'm like, yes, I love seeing like this kind of representation of friendship.
Yes. Because
that's how I feel like my friendships are.
Totally. Yeah. Especially like female friendships, because I feel like mm-hmm. more often than not, like in media and also just like how people talk about female friendships is like, they're so catty. Like everyone's talking shit about each other. Like men just like punch it out and then they're fine. And like that's women have to like be passive aggressive. I know. It's like, anyway.
We could save that for another episode.
Yeah. I have a lot of things to say about that.
We have some listener emails we want to read. One of them will be more of a discussion, and the other is like gonna be our sex fact of the week, because it's really cool
and exciting.
It's exciting and it's cool, and we're stoked to share it. So I'm not gonna read the subject line of this one because it'll give away the story, and also this is our first time reading it. Just had such an interesting subject line. Hey Amelia and Liz, I just wanted to say how much I love the pod and both of you ladies. I love listening and feel like I'm right there with you both. It's opened up conversations with my own friends too. Recently, I was talking to one of my girlfriends about dumb and awkward sex stories we have, and I remembered this doozy. Fresh off a breakup, I was going through a bit of a phase where I didn't really know what I wanted out of dating. While I probably just needed some casual fun, good old Catholic guilt played into being wary of casual hookups. I was on the usual apps for a time, but had little experience with hookups or anything of the sort. I saw one guy pop up and thought he was cute. I did some digging. He was a cop, and had a cat, and was into some of the same nerdy stuff I was into. I figured it'd be worth a shot and liked him. He matched back, and I made some dumb cop joke to start up the conversation. We hit it off and decided to meet up at Starbucks and probably make our way to his place to hook up as long as I felt comfortable. Our text convos got pretty detailed and raunchy fairly quickly over a few days. He mentioned being into rough sex, which I was totally fine with, and he especially mentioned that he could get very animalistic and vocal, to which I thought, sure, sounds fun and exciting.
Oh, God.
Coffee went fine, and we ended up going to his place. He initially showed off all his police gear, including his gun, which now I feel really weird about, but glazed over at the time.
Good Lord.
Oh, man. I was honestly super nervous and freaking out because I'd never really had just a hookup before. I didn't really know what to do once we were on the couch, but I went in for a kiss and we started making out right away. So he starts going down on me and he's getting very into it, which is totally working for me. And I was really starting to get somewhere. Suddenly, though, things got weird. He starts rubbing his entire face all over my lady bits, acting like it's a goddamn pie-eating contest.
Oh, no.
Full-on bulldog eating a roast beef sandwich.
Oh, no.
She's really painting a picture for us. He's getting more and more vocal, especially when I put my hand in his hair and try to pull back to guide him a little better.
Oh, God bless your heart.
All been there. Yeah. You're like, nope, the clit is just
this way, buddy.
A millimeter to the left. I assume he thought he was doing the right thing and was trying to show his animalistic side to me. And then it started. The pie-eating contest turned into grunting. And then he puts his lips right over the entrance of my vagina and straight up growls while shaking his head side to side over my lips.
No.
I had no idea what the fuck was going on. He did it two or three more times and then pulls up to look at me. He goes, wow, it's taking a long time for you to come, I guess. I'm into it, though, so I'm going to keep going. In some weird, low-pitched growl voice.
Yeah, I'm imagining, like, I'm the devil.
I'm Batman. Wow, it's taking a long time for you to come. I'm going to keep going.
I didn't even know what to do. He went back down below and kept randomly growling and smushing his whole face into my crotch. I don't know what happened, how it happened, but I did eventually finish, maybe 15 minutes later.
That isn't a scenario I'd fake an orgasm.
Yeah. We ended up then having god-awful, frenzied, doggy-style, rough sex because I felt guilty I came, but he didn't. He seemed thrilled with the encounter and said we should do it again. I basically squeaked a, yeah, sure, and then got the heck out. He ended up completely ghosting me the next day anyway, and I felt super gross about the whole encounter. Luckily, I got over the guilt pretty quickly, and now it's just a very awkward sex encounter I can joke about. He sent a few "Hey, stranger" texts after a few months went by, which I promptly ignored. Again, thank you so much for this pod and the community you've grown. I can't wait to see where this all takes you.
Oh my god. What the fuck?
Yeah, this was amazing. This fully delivered.
Oh,
I'm just imagining like hooking up with someone and then they start basically doing like ape grunts.
I just want to know when he has gotten the permission to do this in the past, like when he's gotten like the you know, like,
there have been times where I have been hooking up with men and I've been mad at whoever introduced them to their kink, because yeah. Now I'm like dealing with the consequences and I didn't know how to say no because I was 21.
That's so fucking true. But and also the hilarious. Ghosting the next day, maybe he was used to women ghosting him. So he was like, I'm going
after he grunts into their vagina.
Can't ghost me if I ghost you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, she did get off, so
I know. Good for her. See, I was just saying, I was like, I would have faked an orgasm, but like, good for you for like getting yours, because you had to get something out of the situation, and I'm glad it's you like, got an orgasm out of it.
It's like, at what point are you like, I'm going to cut my losses here, you know? I feel like the first time I hook up with someone, I'm perfectly content with not orgasming. I'm like,
me too.
We'll suss it out. We'll see if you deserve it.
Me too. But then like, there's something about like being around a dude that like I can't fucking stand, where I'm like, I better fucking come, you know, which is why I'm sick. Like,
I also think you can come easier than I can.
Yeah, I do. A lot of the time I have an easy time, but like with like, fake Dom, I was like, you're going to make me come. And when I told him that he didn't make me come,
like, I am so dry because of you.
I just had to listen to 30 minutes of your stand-up routine. I was
thinking about that recently.
God, that guy was the fucking worst. But yeah, I was like, I didn't come. And he was like, oh, sorry. Sorry? Uh-uh. So, I mean, the fact that, like, the growling cop was like, well, it's taking you a long time. Guess I'm going to have to keep going. That gets you a couple of points.
I'm afraid.
You're still in the negatives.
I'm afraid of what this man does.
Yeah.
In general.
Yeah.
Like, I am not surprised in the least that this person's career is a police officer.
Wow.
I just.
It does take a certain personality.
The fact that he was like, look at all my cop gear and my gun. Like, that is so fucking strange. I would get the fuck out of there.
You got a ticket into heaven for putting yourself through this whole scenario. Mm-hmm. And with grace, you know what, at the end of the day.
Maybe he's a nice guy.
Well, like, what, none of this sounds particularly great. Like,
no.
Like, the, you know.
First date, he's just going to be like,
here's my gun.
He just like motorboated her vagina.
Like a bulldog with a roast beef sandwich. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Good Lord.
I love that descriptor because it's a little upsetting, but also really funny.
There have been.
Just like. a bulldog just like. I wish we had this part on video.
I know. Me too. I'm so fucking sad. Y'all, you guys aren't getting a video this week because my camera died and my phone's full.
And that's just too much technology to figure out right now.
And also, this is going to be a fucking nightmare episode for you to edit. So the video would be a fucking nightmare to edit. Anyway, so sorry. I wish y'all could see what we were doing right now. We're getting so into this story.
I love that he's like, wow, it's taking you a long time to come, I guess. After just like blinding you with this
just like yelling
this abnormal behavior, like yowling into your pussy. Like, can you imagine that?
Why isn't this working?
Just like
a la la la.
Is this thing on? Like yelling into it, like when you have like a paper towel roll.
Yeah.
Hello down there.
Why haven't you come yet? And what's even animalistic about? I don't know any animal that does this to each other.
Yeah, no animal does that we're aware of, at least.
No, I'm trying to think. No, just yelling into each other's vaginas. I can get pretty animalistic. Like, what? No, animal?
That's not animalistic. It's just like, what's the right word?
Scary.
It's just like archaic, I would say. Like,
it's a clear, like,
vagina. I'm pounding my chest.
It's a clear lack of sex education.
Yeah.
What is yelling? Also,
you know what? If that's your kink, that's totally fine, but you need like more of an introduction than just like, I like rough sex and it's animalistic.
And
those are not descriptive enough for like what you're actually into, because you got to make sure that people are on board with that, because this girl just walked away with kind of like an embarrassing.
Yeah.
And, you know, if it were a different person, potentially traumatizing story.
It's also not going to make you come.
No.
I want to know where he learned that. I haven't seen a porn.
Oh, yeah. Yelling into a vagina is not going to make you come.
Ah!
I think we're ready for our sex fact of the week.
Yeah, our sex fact of the week email that we got from someone that's written in the past that gave himself the name Sad Boy. He has a fun little update for us. Hi, Amelia and Liz. This is Sad Boy again. There has been a major development with my wife and I thought I'd say something for all the listeners. When last we left it, my wife and I had never had sex where I reached an orgasm. We have been working on that in a slow and steady process, but there is another complication that I didn't disclose before. My wife has vaginismus, which means that her muscles do not relax during sex and it is incredibly painful. We've never had any form of deep penetrative sex, but I don't attribute any of that to my own issue. However, a development has taken place. My wife and I have just discovered that she is pregnant.
Bow, bow, bow.
This is your sex fact of the week, which is that male orgasm is not necessary for a potential pregnancy. Pre-cum, the lubrication that comes from a penis while aroused, has sperm in it, and that can still do the job. So I suppose we can say that this is a reason to wear a condom at all times if you're worried about pregnancy, but also how incredible fertility and the female body can be. Thanks for everything. We both love you so much, and now you can be grandmothers since we are your children. Thanks, Dad Boy, formerly Sad Boy.
So cute.
I love this. I actually have things to say about this. First of all, congratulations. That's so fucking exciting. So to speak, fucking exciting.
Ayo. Gout dads.
That was
a callback.
Wow. That was good. That's a good callback. It's been a while. When I was younger, I was always afraid of getting pregnant from pre-cum, from just
heard the stories. Oh, from dry humping.
Yep, it was the dry hump pregnancy. It's a lot different.
We did name an episode that.
But I did learn that there a dry hump pregnancy, yes. Mm-hmm. But I did learn that there is sperm in pre-cum. A lot, there's less of a chance if you pee before sex.
Oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm. Because that
clears the passageway.
Clears out the hallway. Yeah.
Out the hallway.
And then if you have like recently came, if you are having sex, you can, there could be a lot of sperm in the pre-cum if you've recently had sex. Mm-hmm.
Ah.
So that fueled a lot of my anxiety around getting pregnant through my genes when I was dating a Mormon.
You had a lot of men lie to you about
everything, girls,
especially how you get pregnant.
Sperm burger.
That's also a callback.
Wow. This is a cute little full circle episode.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say that I appreciate that these listeners know that I wanted to skip the part where I'm a mom and I'm just a grandma. I don't know if I vocalized that on the podcast, but
Liz, we're grandmas.
We did it. Aww. What grandma name do you want to go by?
Grammy.
I'm going to be, should I be Nana?
Yeah. Okay. Grammy and Nana.
That's us.
We love you, our grandchildren.
Should we sing grandchildren this one?
Yeah, hell yeah.
All right, ready?
Okay, well, thanks for listening.
We love you, our grandchildren.
Nice. I feel good about the notes we hit.